Chairman of the House State Affairs Committee, Jeanette James, and with me is the Vice Chair of the Senate State Affairs Committee, Jerry Ward, Senator from down south. And we're happy to have him here today, and I don't know how many others might be on teleconference, other state affairs meeting members. The other members of the House State Affairs are Representative Dyson from Eagle River, Representative Ivan from Antioch, Representative Hodgins from the Kenai, Representative Beasy, Representative Berkowitz, and Representative Elton. Berkowitz is from Anchorage and Elton is from Juneau. And then the State Affairs Committee is chaired by Senator Green of Wasilla, vice chaired by Senator Ward, also Senator Mackey from Craig, and Senator Miller from North Pole, and Senator Duncan from Juneau are members of the committee. Today, I'm really happy that you all took time to come here today. This bill that we have ahead of us here needs a lot of work, and we need a lot of talk about this, and that's why we're having these meetings in the interim, so if we can find some testimony from people we might not ever have known about. In Delta, the University Cooperative Extension Service is hosting the Delta teleconference, and I have here people signed in at the Kenai LIO and in Mat-Su, and we may get more people signing on as we go along. Next Friday, we will be meeting at the Wasilla City Chambers, same agenda, and hopefully Senator Green will be there to chair that meeting. And if not, I will do it in for her. And we're here to discuss an issue of vital importance to Alaska, and that's agriculture and what we can do as agricultural supporters, which we are, to help that industry grow, prosper, and be help to the state as well as ourselves, and have a vibrant industry. I'm going to ask my staff, Barbara Cotting, who has been the one that's worked so hard on this bill, to read the sponsor statement into the record so that we'll have at least a basis to begin from. I think most everyone that is here is familiar with what the purpose of this legislation is and what we hope to accomplish by putting it on the table. So, Barbara, would you go ahead and do that, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Barbara Cotting, C-O-T-T-I-N-G. I'm the House State Affairs Committee aide. Sponsor statement for House Bill 228. Please be aware this bill is just a starting point, submitted in response to numerous requests from members of the agricultural industry in Alaska. It restructures the way state agricultural services will function in our state, making them more responsive to the industry's needs and more in touch with the grassroots operations of our producing farmers. Alaska needs to encourage agricultural development. We need to remove roadblocks and allow the industry to grow and prosper for the benefit of our state and all its citizens. Again, this is just a starting point. We plan to expand the duties and authorities of the Agriculture Development Corporation once we agree upon its formation. We welcome all input and suggestions. Madam Chair, do you want me to go through the bill briefly by section?
Let me see if anyone wants you to do that. And if no one has, everyone's familiar with it, then we can dispense with it. Is there anyone that would really like to have her go through the sections and say what the current copy does? Because you can give testimony on what it says and what it doesn't say or anything. So if there's no one that requests it, was there anyone on teleconference that would wish her to read the section changes into the record? Hearing none, then we'll go ahead and skip with that. I want to say how pleased I am to have our new director of the Division of Ag here with us, come up here from the Palmer area, Robert Wells. And in case any of you haven't met him yet, he's sitting there in the second row, and we're pleased to have you with us here today. And also, Ed Robio, happy to have you here now that you've been replaced with your temporary position. I see a big smile on your face, I think, because it's a pretty heavy burden to take on, and we appreciate people who are willing to do that. The other people in the audience, we most all know each other, but I'm glad to see the university represented, and also the Cooperative Extension Service and other farmers here. So we're pleased to go ahead and take testimony on this bill. Also, Representative Elton is in Anchorage the LIO, at the LIO there.
He's in June.
It says he's here in Anchorage. And this is Anchorage. This is a message from Anchorage. Yeah, he's down there for that. Okay, can I have the sign-in sheet over there, please? But first of all, before the first one, we always usually give opportunity for the administration to testify if you want to now, Robert, and then after you, maybe Ed Robio if he wants to. And so we'll go that way, and then we'll take other interested parties, and we can even, in state affairs, we even get into discussion sometimes. So you're not limited to any amount of time to make your presentation, and you're welcome to come back and respond or answer questions as we go through this process. I try very, very hard in House State Affairs to have a very open, communicative committee meeting, because we really want to get the bottom of everything. So welcome, and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't intend to take a position on the bill today. Mostly I wanted to come to Fairbanks and the Delta area tomorrow to introduce myself to the agricultural community here. I'm very interested. I was glad to hear the word grassroots in the sponsor statement. I intend to, in the coming weeks and months, acquaint myself with the producers in Alaska and listen very carefully to what they perceive the needs are of the agricultural community. And I thank your committee for having these hearings, because these hearings will also help me understand those needs and desires. We're all aware that the agricultural industry is growing, and I think we're on a nice steady course, and I think we want to continue that. We need to examine the assistance and programs we have in place and always see where we can do the job better. And I really don't have a lot to offer specifically on the bill today beyond that, but I do thank you for these hearings and the opportunity to listen to the concerns.
Thank you very much. Senator Ward, did you have any questions or comments?
The only comment, thank you, Madam Chair, is good luck in your new job, and it's probably it's got to be one of the most challenging positions that there is in the state. I wish you well.
I appreciate that. It certainly is challenging. I'm glad to be on board, and I plan to be up to the challenge.
Good. And as long as you listen to the people that are producing the product, maybe instead of the ones that are producing regulations, I think it'll work out great.
Thank you.
I want to also say the Representative Ivan is also in Anchorage, and I would ask Representative Ivan or Representative Elton if they had anything they wanted to say while the new Director of Agriculture is sitting at the table.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't know if you can hear me, but just to add my good wishes to Senator Ward.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Elton. Representative Ivan, do you have anything to add?
Chair, and congratulations to the new director, and we wish him well. I know he's got a lot of work cut out from ahead of time. But for the record, I'm from Winnipegakia, AKIAK.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I mix those two up all the time, and I know they're not even close to each other.
Thank you, Madam. That's all I have, and
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you then very much. And Ed Robio, would you have anything that you would like to add?
No.
Okay. Then we'll start down the list of people that wants to testify. And the first one we have is Jim Ellison.
No, I just here to observe.
Oh, okay. I better read the list. He's Jim Ellison is from North Pole, and he's here to observe. Next, we have Lou Reese. The Carrot Man.
Carrot, yes, Carrot King.
Carrot King, right.
In democracy, I don't know. But I'm certainly welcome the opportunity to speak to you, Madam Chairman and Senator Warren. It's a real honor and a privilege to do so.
For the sake of the people on teleconference, will you tell us where you're from?
Certainly. We've developed over the past 13, 14 years an agricultural homestead in Delta Junction. We first obtained the property under the Richardson Homestead Development State Act in 1984. We've gone through the entire process as far as staking the land, developing the land, clearing it, and have reached the place now where we're producing on 11 acres. So we have a total of 240 acres, but on 11 acres we're producing commercial carrot crop, and we sell to the Fairbanks market, and then through the military sales we've expanded into Elmendorf, Fort Richardson, and Kodiak this last year. We processed approximately 130,000 pounds of carrot. We own and operate, in addition to the farm, a packing facility with about a 14,000 cubic foot cold storage to maintain the quality of the crop. We really appreciate this opportunity to discuss the future of agriculture in the state with this committee. And we really compliment those legislators, yourself, and other legislators that were involved in drafting this legislation, because speaking for our own farm, it's made us look at agriculture from a different point of view, a different perspective, in the sense that we were more narrowly focused on our own activities and not looking at what was happening within state government and what was happening within other communities. And the introduction of this bill, it's made us examine exactly what we think the role of agriculture, division of agriculture should be in the state, what marketing opportunities exist, and where the state can assist us, and where the state, in our opinion, really has no function in the private sector. Having said that, we have some and coming back, our history with agriculture goes back at least 13, 14 years in state, so we had some exposure to some of the difficulties with the Delta project 2 decades ago. And because of that exposure to those kinds of difficulties, I have a great deal of concern with this legislation that establishes an agricultural farming board. I think the Division of Agriculture has made significant gains in the last decade. I think that there's momentum there. I think there's a momentum within agriculture that can be built upon the existing framework, modification, changes. And we're extremely concerned that that momentum may be lost with the development of another brand new bureaucracy, for want of another term. We would rather see, at least our own belief is, we'd rather see a cooperative effort between the legislature and the agriculture community and other aspects of the system in developing and making a stronger condition. There are some specific areas that we need support, and one of course is in crop inspection and certification. Without the inspection and certification of our crop, we can't sell it. We can't sell it to the military, we can't sell it to the stores, and it's a service, it's a protection for the general public, and it protects the grower. And we definitely need that. Another positive aspect we've experienced with the Division of Agriculture was the Alaskan drone sales and promotion within the division. We found it to be extremely beneficial for particularly ourselves, new growers coming into the market. And we've incorporated the state logo, the Alaskan drone logo, in all of our packaging. We found it as a means to ensure that, one, it's an Alaskan product that's on the market. It's good quality control, and we found it to be a very positive and helpful thing that the division was able to do. We certainly look forward to further dialogue with Madam Chairman of the committee regarding this bill and future legislation, but I think that identifies, at least from our perspective, where we see that we're coming from. We really would like to see a stronger division of agriculture and stronger funding for it. We looked last year, I don't have the budget in front of me, but I looked at last year's the budget for the Department of Natural Resources, and I think the commissioner's office with three special assistants had a $11 million budget. So it seems to me that within the Department of Natural Resources, there should be some, I think, some more of a, at least a look at the allocation of resources and where it is for development of renewable resources. The state and agriculture certainly is a renewable resource. I think the funding is an issue that needs to be addressed, but I think a closer examination of that department's budget may generate enough funds to support the division, those kinds of activities that I think it should be involved in, which are research, marketing, and then the maintenance of quality controls and crop inspections from the state. I'd like to see the division take a more historic position. I'd like to see the division develop along other lines that it has not been able to do so in the past.
I really appreciate your testimony. I'd just like to respond a little bit, if I might, since we haven't had much time to talk, and this is a good time to talk in front of other people so we can have this conversation. Because I appreciate your testimony, and I have to kind of say why I'm here today with this bill. I have spent 5 sessions in Juneau and fought for agriculture money every single year, and every single year I was less successful than before. I've also saw the farming community come to Juneau en masse and go from building to building, office to office, and fight for enough funds to keep things going. I have fought the issue over inspection, not only of the crops, but inspection of crops and plants that are coming into the state that need to be reviewed to see whether or not they're bringing any disease into our pristine growing conditions, which is severely interesting for me, because what we have here, we don't want to be spoiled. And this is kind of a defense, if I might put it that way. Is that okay? We are seeing the university's budget being slashed constantly in the School of Agriculture and Forestry, and which is now put into a resource management school. We've seen the Cooperative Extension Service being reduced in funds, and like they don't care if it goes away. We've also, in the soils conservation area, we've found absolutely no real support in Juneau amongst the legislators around the state for these issues. And by putting all of this emphasis together, having these hearings and so forth, maybe we can figure out that we have strength enough amongst ourselves to be absolutely sure that we have a program that continues. Those things that you mentioned are extremely important. And we need to do more research and more planning to get more crops that we can do better than anyone else. And so I appreciate your testimony very much, and I just wanted to let you know, since we haven't had the chance to talk, where I'm coming from on this issue. It has nothing to do with discrediting the Division of Agriculture.
No, and if I came across the way, it certainly was not my intent. Originally, when I began my statement, I indicated that I appreciated the fact that the legislation had been introduced, because it made me, and I think a lot of other people, do some serious thinking. And over the past 6 or 8 months, and I think that bill, whatever may happen to it, I think that's most significant right now at this particular time. I recognize shrinking revenues, and I realize that the extreme difficulty you've had other people secure funding for it, and I respect that. But my own belief is, based on my own experiences, that sometimes within a department that has a division that may or may not be quite as high a profile as other divisions or other activities in that division, sometimes that division is not always appropriately taken care of and funded. And I was only pointing that out as a comparison. I don't have figures for the budget for the Division of Agriculture last year, but I know it's significantly lower than the $11 million budget that I saw identified in the commissioner's office.
And on that point, I think it's really, there's an analogy here, I think, to agriculture and the subsistence issue. And I don't want to start a big fire burning here on the subsistence issue, but I've been trying really hard personally to negotiate a settlement between the interested parties on both sides so that we can have continuing subsistence without fighting. I want to have continuing agriculture without fighting. And when we're the small voice and the majority is out there denying us the access and deny us even to have a voice in the process, then we have to stand up as a minority and show that we have a right to exist and that we contribute. And so that's the other thing. If you could take home with you that, in talking to your friends and neighbors, if you could take that that's the issue, and that's the effort we're trying to do here.
I think that your comment regarding the product that's brought into the state, whether it's chemicals that we use in our fields or whether it's the product itself that's in the stores or in the market, is extremely important, because we know on the property we own, we know every mineral that we put on that soil from day one. We know the water quality, we know what kind of, we don't use pesticides, but we know everything is, we have a history of that soil, and we entered, and it was a pristine condition. We want to maintain it. And I certainly think that's an important aspect that the division, an appropriate role for the division.
Absolutely.
And I certainly, you know, join you in advocating the expansion of that role.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Representative Ivan or Representative Elton, do you have any questions of Mr. Reese?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Next one we have is Larry Petty from Salcha.
Well, hello, Jeanette. Jerry, I follow both of you guys, and I think you're really, really doing a tremendous job down there. I kind of disagree with the fellow here just before me, and I've been in agriculture in the state for quite a while. I first tried to get in the first time they put Point McKenzie up in Anchorage. But the Division of Ag started going downhill, I think, when Sheffield was in there. And we had the problems of the mental health came up. And so overnight, he was for agriculture, and then he was against it. They closed the mill, the storage and everything, shipping stuff at Seward, and I don't know whatever happened to that. But from then, it went downhill until you got Mr. Petula in there, and he thought that there couldn't be anything raised but except in the Mat Valley. And so it continued to slide, and it has slid. I hope the new director can turn that around, that we do have agriculture in the Fairbanks and Delta area. They tried to run people off of the land, is what they tried to do, so they wouldn't have to transfer some from other lands that they wanted to keep to give to mental health for the land that we were trying to farm. And I know that for a fact because of the people that's been run off out in the Allison Ag area. And the Division of Agriculture were state employees that had no interest in agriculture. I mean the lower people, not the director, but the lower people. And they should have been trying to build agriculture to make themselves a better job, but they didn't. They run it down all the time, and any kind of a stumbling block they put in your way, anything that they wouldn't work with you on anything. And it was just a tremendous fight. I've made several trips down and talked to the director and to the revolving loan fund board at that time, and it was just a mess ever since I started with the state. I don't think that they've done agriculture any good from the time they got into it. Determining where the farms was going to be, what they were going to raise, if it's dairy or if it's going to be barley and that's all, and you know, and they kept changing the rules from day to day. And when I was finally able to borrow some money from the revolving loan fund, they told me my loan was approved as read. Well, I went in, and they said, well, it's not exactly approved as you read because you have to put up 25% of the money. So I had to put up 25%. Well, they the rest of the loan. I had a dozer lease for $3,500 a month, and it was just going on and on and on. And they lost the warrant. They brought it, the loan. They brought it to Delta, and they were supposed to have dropped it back by Fairbanks, but they didn't. They was running late, so the director flew back to Juneau and carried the warrant with him, and it was about 6 months before I ever got the loan. Well, at $3,500 a month, you can imagine what kind of a bill I owed for the rent of a dozer that I wasn't able to hardly use. But I'm saying this is that we do need to make a change. We do need to get somebody that is interested in agriculture and expanding it, because I'm growing warm weather vegetables up here, and I know it can be done. I've done it for about 3 years now, and I think the technology's here now that we can raise vegetables that can feed some of the people in Alaska and save fuel and everything else. But we are going to have some freedom. We've been tied down and regulated and lied to and changed till nobody has the is that me stopped?
No.
Well, I guess I went on enough, but I would like to see a change and maybe a change in this bill here, which I would like to see somebody from the university, if they were into raising vegetables, so that we could, like the Plants Material Center or somebody, could grow vegetables, only they need to be grown up here on the north end. If we can raise them up here, we know we can raise them in Wasilla or somewhere. So, and I know we can up here, but we just need to get the type of vegetable that does the best, you know, the brand name of whatever type of vegetables it is. But I last year I grew cucumbers outside, a little over a ton of them, and I know it can be done. And I sold them to the stores locally, and I plan on expanding the operation next year. And all I would like to do is to see us have somebody that's fair and not change the rules, have it down. One rule is the same for other. Like I borrowed $30,000 to clear some land. I spent another $30,000 on it. The legislators gave us a moratorium. Well, I was 2 days late, so they said, fourth year, getting my moratorium papers in there. I had to spend that much money on the land, and I did every year. Well, they said, you're 2 days late. We've canceled your moratorium. Everything, all your penalties, interest, payments are due now, or get off the property. Well, needless to say, I didn't pay them. And I did get off the property. It took them 7 or 8 years, but they finally took it. But the loan that I had, which was supposed to have been for $40,000, I got $30,000 to clear that land. And they took the debt. They took the land back, but took the debt and put it on my other property, so I still had to pay it. They sold that land for $600 or $700 an acre, a portion of it, but my clearing didn't help it any. I paid $160 an acre for it and put that work in. But there's something has to be changed, and I realize that I'm talking in the past, but it's kind of been a sore spot with me with the state ever since they done that to me, and I know that they done it to get me off the property. And I even found a buyer, and they wouldn't accept the buyer. The man had $17,000 cash. He wanted to buy it, $500 an acre, and one person from the Division of Ag said, oh, no, you're going to make money off of it. We're not going for it. And they didn't.
Well, it's interesting that, you make the comment that we've made mistakes, and certainly we have. And fact is, one of the my evaluations of over the period of time, one of the things why we're here today is because there's been mistakes made, and we're having to live with them even though we didn't make them.
Right.
And so one of the things that, I find in the legislature is very few supportive. I'm gradually getting more. Glad to have Jerry here this year. But gradually, when I first started down there, might have been five voices that I could get to support agriculture. We're about four times that many now. But that's out of 60. We need to have at least 40 out of 60 to be able to get some real support. And, of course, everyone holds the Delta Barley Project against us because of all of the money that was spent and, nothing grown. What they didn't realize is you can't instantly create any kind of business, no matter whether it's farming or anything else. It has to be market-driven. And they didn't do, they didn't allow an opportunity to grow naturally in this whole process. And I say it wasn't a farming failure. It was a legislative failure. And I think the legislature has to take the blame for it. And so we need to be sure that the blame gets put in the right place. It was not a farming failure. In fact, if you go to Delta today, you'll find it was a farming success. And we need to get more people to go over there to see it. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Larry. Thank you, Larry, for your testimony today. Jeffrey Kite. Pardon?
I'm just observing.
You're just observing. See, I'm not paying too much attention to what my paper says here. Bob Franklin.
You'll be sorry.
Aren't you just observing?
He says, hopefully.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and Senator. I'm glad that you're here taking on this challenge of this Bill 228, wherever it may go or wherever it may end up. I think the bill has a lot of merit. Maybe I should introduce myself, Bob Franklin.
Yes, say where you're from and what you do, Bob.
I'm from Fairbanks. This is my mailing address. I live about halfway between here and North Pole, and I run a meat processing operation there of Alaska-grown products. I'm also the state president for the Alaska Farm Bureau. I think the 228 has a lot of merit in some of the things that it's doing, and I think it's a very good discussion point to start from. I think that possibly a good Board of Agriculture is really important in our growing industry so that we have some direction from farmers. At the present time, as everyone knows, the director is appointed by the governor. Every time the governor changes, we lose the continuity from one director to another. Where if the board was designated and appointed by the governor of who or what type of lifestyle that person had to have to be qualified to be on the board, then we'd have more representation from our industry rather than just someone put there, which could be for put there for a favor or payback or however the person gets that position. So for the continuity in the industry, I think it's important that we investigate having a true Board of Agriculture to bring in all of the entities to the director, and then we could still maintain a division. I would really like to see the division in a cabinet position, like so many other states are, rather than be in the Department of Natural Resources. Then we would get a better representation if we were standing by ourselves. Realizing that as small an industry as we are, that's probably never going to happen in this state for in my lifetime anyway. I think that one of the things that we need to do, and we've been doing a better job, is telling our story in agriculture, not only to the public, but to the legislature. And impressing upon them the importance of an agricultural industry in the basis of agriculture in anybody's state or lifestyle or whatever. And Alaska is capable of raising its own food. It's just that we don't have enough interest, we don't have enough availability of people getting here to do the job. And I think this is where a Board of Agriculture could be a lot of help in
and helping the director in putting some of these things into place. I know in this testimony from a lot of different people, we're going to hear a lot of things that has happened in the past, and everybody's got a lot of things in the past to talk about, but we really can't change that. What's happened has happened, and we have to get on with our lives, and we have to get on with our industry. I think the biggest thing, and Madam Chairman said it all in one sentence, that we have to get involved. We have to get our industry excited to go to Juneau, to get more friends, to let them know what we're doing. I don't really have any comments on the bill other than that at this time. I think it's going to be very interesting to hear comments from around the state and where they really come from and who's giving them. I know we're going to be doing some strategy planning at our annual meeting in November. We'll have a general membership meeting there on Thursday starting at 1:00, and I'm sure that this will be a high topic of discussion there. And then our board will do the strategy planning to go to Juneau to either support this bill or do whatever we feel as though we need to do to change it to fit the industry. And I'd sure like to invite everybody to that general membership meeting just to hear the conversation, even if they don't have the authority to vote. I'd invite everybody to become members of the Farm Bureau and attend the Ag Symposium. I think we have a real good program this year, and that's an ideal place to hear complaints and praises and everything from around the state. There are normally about 200 people there that attend that.
What's the day?
It'd be the
Regal Alaska.
The Regal Alaska Hotel in Anchorage, 14th and 15th for the symposium. The Farm Bureau General Membership meeting will be the 14th, the afternoon of the 14th, starting at 1. Then we have the banquet.
13.
Yeah, 13. So, anyway, with that, I'll shut up.
Well, I appreciate you coming forward today, too. I do have some other people on the teleconference now. We could go to them, unless anyone has any questions. They have any questions about Franklin? Thank you very much for coming in, Bob. Okay, we could go then to Matsu, and we've got Ms. Kelly Ladere, if I pronounce that properly. Comes to sit in a ranch.
That's close enough. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the opportunity to speak. It's not often that a farmer from the Upper Susitna Valley has an opportunity to address the legislators, and I much appreciate the opportunity to do so. If most of you have never met me, I was raised on a homestead in the Susitna Valley in the 1950s and early 60s, and I earned most of my college money raising hay in that area, and I went through 7 or 8 years of college. And for the last 18 years, I've earned my living as a farmer. I have about 1,100 acres. I've farmed as much as 1,100 acres of cropland on other people's land, including my own, but on the average, I usually crop between 300 and 500 acres. I sell meat for a living off of my farm in the legal fashion. Some years back, I had the opportunity to investigate the way other longtime agricultural states govern their industries in agriculture, and it was my conclusion after doing that study that the most successful states were those in which a Board of Agriculture served as the governing body for that particular state. This board would be composed of farmers in the majority, and the remaining seats made up of those who were in related businesses. So I'm very interested in this bill, House Bill 228. I too will be very interested in watching it develop. I think that there's one section in which I have a very specific comment to make, and that's on page 3 of the bill copy, which I have, which I hope you have. It's HB 228A, and the section is 03.10.015, Agriculture Development Corporation. And this is the section in which an agricultural development corporation is established for the purpose of financial business with the farmer. And what it says here in this section is that the Board of Agriculture will serve as the board of directors of the corporation. That is, it's my understanding that the Board of Agriculture would also serve as the board of directors for the Agriculture Development Corporation. If I'm reading this correctly, then the only addition you would need to make to this bill is to name the change. And what I mean by that statement is that you would be setting up an administrative board that would also be the financial board for this industry. And that being the case, what we're talking about is not the form of government with which we are functioning in the state of Alaska or any other state in the Union, and it's not the form of government in which our United States of America functions. For a board to have the direct financial responsibilities as well as the direct administrative responsibilities, I think is extremely inappropriate.
Well, thank you. You know, you bring a really good point, and I hadn't seen it from that perspective, but I tend to agree with you. Have you ever taken any, or have you ever gotten any loans from the Ag Revolving Loan Fund for yourself?
Yeah, I have, and I'm in good standing at this point in paying one off.
Well, and one of the things that we've been fighting for the last 5 years I've been in the legislature is a legislature that wants to decimate it and take it and use it for something else and have it go away. And of course, this was an effort to try. I'm trying to put some rationale between how these things got in this bill, knowing full well that we have a beginning start, and each one of these things makes a statement. In the discussion with this, we also toyed with the idea. There's some distress with the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund and its behavior over the years, and then there's this legislative mandate that we have to meet that says that these people are doing a good job of managing and dissipating funds and collecting them and that sort of thing. And one of the thoughts that we wanted to do, it's really not a problem if we don't have any money, and soon we won't have any if we don't do something. Anyway, one of the other thoughts was to give that pot of money, put it out for bid to some other bank or lending institution to manage under the same or similar guidelines that we have. And that would be then not having it under the same other group of people. But that's how it got there, is trying to protect that fund and from either stealing by the legislature or what is maybe determined by some to be not managed the way they thought it should. So I'm really happy to hear your thoughts. I think that's... everybody in the room, I think, is thinking and shaking their heads and saying, yeah, this is a good thought. So we're really happy to have you on board today.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Now if we could go also to Matt Sue, is Craig Triton, is it? Did I pronounce that right?
Triton.
Okay.
He's coming towards the mic.
Thanks.
I thought there'd be a lot more testimony today. We're reading over the bill, and we have some questions. And in the personal conflict category, maybe? How does it address if you're on the board, and would you be able to get a loan from it? And per diem matters, I think right now they're getting $0 unless they're, you know, over 50 miles to get something. Here you get $100 a day. What is a day? Is it one phone call? Is that your day? There's a few other things, too. I need to have this bill here. It's got a ways to go, I think.
Well, and I appreciate that. I'm writing down those questions, and what I would suggest to you, Craig, is that as you develop more questions, would you put them in writing and send them to me so that we can get those into the record and we can address them in some way?
Another one is, there's no mention here of actually financing land. You got ag clearing process, development, processing, purchasing livestock, machinery, storage, whatever, but there's no purchase of farmland here. It's a biggie.
Yeah, are you talking about purchasing land from the state or from some other farmer?
Well, whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking that, and that maybe it isn't in there, but I was of the opinion that one of the things we were going to capitalize our corporation with was also the ag lands in the state to be sold the way they've been being sold, which is, you know, under the state's financing. And if that doesn't say that in there, that was certainly one of the things we've talked about.
Dan and Diane are wanting to make loans, and here you want to sell some land, I think ought to be in this bill.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that certainly wasn't to be included in part of the process. The other thing that we were trying to figure out to get our arms around in this whole process is the university and their role that they play, the Soils Conservation Service and the Alaska Cooperative Extension Service, and any other places where any agricultural efforts could be orchestrated together so that you could make a better use of the funds that are available, assuming that we weren't going to lose anymore.
Yeah.
And then also, if we could do that, that would give us some impetus to give us more money instead of less. And so that seems to be, you know, we're just about choked down to the quick here already. So in thinking about that, you might think how those things could do, too. I appreciate your testimony. Is there any other thing that you have there listed that you want to say to
me? Yeah, some of the soil conservation work. I think it's very, you know, important that when we disperse these lands, that we have a farm plan, conservation plan, and go by the rules. We got a problem right down here now with the developer buying some land. We got to get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
I wish that could be thought of, and also I'd like to see 7 members if this was going to be even thought of instead of 5. I'd like to have 4 farmers.
Okay, all right. Let me just mention one other thing that, and you can, this is just my understanding of the difference between a conservation plan and a farm plan. And one of the problems that I have with a farm plan is that you can make a farm plan today, and the market is not there for. Having a problem under the mandates of their purchase of state land, that they have a period of time when they had to have a certain amount of land cleared, and the crop that they're working on didn't allow them to do that when there was other priorities that they had to do first. So a conservation plan, which is how you manage to use the land and protect its the soil and water, certainly is a very important issue. I understand that very clearly and know that over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years that I've been concerned with, you know, keeping the soil on the ground and not going down the streams, that those are really important. But I think that to have a farming plan which specifically says what crops you're going to grow, when you're going to grow them, when you're going to build this, and when you're going to do that is a good framework. But you do have to every year make a decision on how the market affects everything, what the weather does. You may have a total crop failure. My husband had a brother who always borrowed every year in the Yakima Valley to do his farming from the Production Credit Association, and he always borrowed the amount of money he already had. so that if he had a crop failure, he could pay his loan and get another loan the next year and be able to continue farming. And I think that he never took everything. He just never took anything other than what he knew he could pay, even if he had a crop failure. So I think that those kinds of things that farmers do, they're just as good and astute business people as anyone else, maybe even more so, because not only do they have to confront with public opinion, but they also have to worry about the weather. The weather is very determinant as to what happens with their crop. So I appreciate that, and I support the soil and water conservation efforts.
Thank you, that's all.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, we could go then to the Kenai LIO and Mr. Bill Ward.
Yes, thank you, Representative James. My name is Bill Ward, and I have a farm on the Kenai Peninsula. I also have a farm located in the Delta Junction area. I have some testimony I'd like to read into the record.
Go ahead.
This legislation is comprised of two main components: formation of a Board of Agriculture and the creation of an Independent Agriculture Development Corporation. Each element of this legislation has a sound basis and should be reviewed on its own merits. A Board of Agriculture, made up of duly appointed Alaskan residents, has the ability to bring forth experience and expertise from within the agriculture industry to help guide and manage the administration and development agriculture policy in Alaska. This board, with its defined qualifications for service, can merge, complement, and replace the efforts currently undertaken by the Agriculture Revolving Loan Fund Board and the Natural Resource Conservation Board. It is imperative for government and the private sector to work together in formulation and administration of public policy. Board of Agriculture will ensure that the policies administered by our state government coincide with efforts in the private sector industry. Even if the Division of Agriculture is retained, the Board of Agriculture is a positive addition to the DNR structure. Agriculture must be represented by an advocacy agency to stimulate the development of the industry, to facilitate market growth for agricultural products, interact with other agencies on matters of public policy, and to protect the health and overall interests of the Alaskan public. In the past, the DNR Division of Agriculture has served in this capacity, and under the right circumstances, it should continue to do so in the future. Unfortunately, the Division of Agriculture has fallen victim to budget cuts, severe criticism from all fronts, lack of administrative support, poor staff attitudes. In truth, the division has no state budget because both the legislature and administration chosen to seal dedicated funds in the ARLF for operations rather than provide legitimate general fund monies. Bureaucracy downsizing may be warranted, but without the necessary internal reorganization, the result is an agency unable to provide service to anyone. The Division of Agriculture has no clear mission or long-term objectives. It has had no leadership for the past several administrations, and it is left with a staff that is understandably either unable or unwilling to serve the agriculture industry. When you call the division, you find that they have no market development program, no land disposal program other than piecemeal repossessions, a reduced inspection program, a loan program burdened with unwieldy regulations and mountains of paperwork, no relationship with their sister divisions or other government agencies, and a staff looking to retirement as a way to restore their outlook on life. To correct this, the administration will have to dedicate the time and resources to rebuild the agency from the ground up, focusing on service to an industry and responsible public policy administration. In addition, the administration and legislature will have to address long-term stable funding by establishing a balance of reasonable general fund appropriations, federal allocations, land sale contracts, asset management, interagency agreements, and industry fees. That will require a commitment by both parties to work together in a nonpartisan way provide long-term solutions to preserve the division as an agency of state government. I'm not optimistic that we will see that level of commitment or effort from this administration or legislature, and without it, the Division of Agriculture is destined to disappear as regulatory duties disperse amongst other agencies. The agriculture industry will be left to fend for itself without government support or leadership. House Bill 228 will give us the tools as an industry to manage our own growth and development. It will create a public-private partnership whereby the state provides agriculture classified lands and ARLF assets for the Agriculture Development Corporation to manage. Agriculture not only generates dollars which remain in state, it also provides high quality fresh food for our citizens, it stabilizes rural economies, provides aesthetic diversity, conservation enhancement, and improves wildlife habitat. The implementation of House Bill 228 will create a Board of Agriculture made up of dedicated and qualified industry representatives who will manage the Agriculture Development Corporation to facilitate agriculture's growth, develop its markets, and stabilize farm-based incomes, all of which will result in a significant contribution to the economy of Alaska. I want to thank Representative Jeanette James for her dedication to agriculture and sponsorship of this legislation, and I'd like to encourage the passage of House Bill 228. That's all I have on testimony, but I would like to, I have a request of you, Madam Chairman.
Yes, Bill?
Since you have represented the university and the Extension Service there today, I'd appreciate it if you could bring them forth, kind of put them on the hot seat, if you will, and ask them how their budgets and their mission statement is going to affect agriculture. As I understand it, their budgets are such that they cannot provide adequate service to our industry, and also in some cases their direction is going more urban and away from the rural economy. So I would appreciate if today they could also provide some input as to where, how their programs are going to affect our overall stability. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and I'm seeing smiles out there. There's one thing I want to say, I think, because I want to put some reality in here from my perspective as a legislator going into my sixth session this next spring, this next January. I've been traveling around the state on the Deferred Maintenance Task Force looking, and that's an assignment that we were given, this task force, and we were supposed to identify, prioritize, find out how much of our infrastructure we've let waste away over the years, figure out what that value, that dollar value is, and figure out a way to fund it. We had 2 days in Anchorage this last week to discuss funding options. We had people brought in testimony and told us what we could do. We had the bond bank person there to tell us what bonding would do. We've come up with $1 billion of deferred maintenance. That's maintenance that hasn't happened. The buildings, schools, roads, airports, docks, harbors around the state that are in crumbling disrepair. This has been an issue of mine as well as supporting agriculture since I began was elected in 1992. And what came down at this last meeting, which was I said, oh, we can do this. But then they put the fence around us that we have to do it within the 5-year plan that the majority legislature has. And I said, but you can't do that because you can't spend money without spending money. So we can set it over here and us do this and then let the plan go on. But let me tell you, they're going to plan to do that. So then the reality is that all of the budget, because there's another $50 million to be reduced this year, that all of the budgets that are there cannot grow unless something else shrinks. That's the reality of it. That is the mentality. There is a caveat out here that I hear from people, is that when the people tell us they're willing to pay for services, then we'll change the plan. But as of now, they're not. And so, you know, we only have a limited amount of funds. And I agree, that, you know, there's some real priorities as government we should be doing. Police on the streets. We should not be tying their hands behind their back, or we should be able to protect the public's public safety. There's a number of things. Our education systems need to be funded, or pretty soon we'll just have, you know, we'll be dumbing down all of our people because we won't have enough money. So I'm telling you this because of the reality of it. And sometimes, you know, you have to look at what you can change and what you can't change, and how you can protect yourself and regroup. I will ask Hollis Hall and Wendy Redmond if they have any comments to make. But I just wanted to throw that out there to you, that there's some real serious concerns. And as I traveled around the state, I never found any place where one of their biggest concerns wasn't their roads. And we're not, you know, I think we're paying the highest price we can for gas at the pump. I don't want to support another 8 cents or 16 cents. And if I did put another 8 or 16 cents on, we wouldn't have any more money than we're currently spending on maintenance. I mean, we are already spending $75 million, and each 8 cents brings in about $25 million. So we wouldn't really have any more money if we did that. We have to have another plan. And I'm working on something to try to get a dedicated fund to put some money in for maintenance of our roads, because they're terrible. And if we had them up to speed, it would cost less to maintain them. We're doing our maintenance the expensive way, because we're not fixing anything and we're crisis management. So we have to deal with this. But I'm only saying this to you just for reality check. Is that whatever the budget was this year, you can count on it being smaller next year. There may be some increases in some areas, but that means someone else is going to have to take it in the shorts. And having spent 5 years down there and knowing generally the attitude of the legislators that are in charge of this issue, and that's the biggest amount of the voters there, that agriculture is not on the tip of their tongue as something that is so important to them, they think they can't survive without it. So when you're thinking about all these things and all this defense that we have to have and this, you know, try to keep ourselves from going down with the ship, so when it's all over and people are willing to pay for the government services they want, which that will come, I don't know how soon, that we are there to be on the upswing too. The other thing that we have to recognize is that there is a growth factor in the state, which we have not been meeting for a number of years. Population increases. The schools are growing. The roads, we built more roads than we then. When we build more roads, we have to keep them up, too. We build more buildings, we have to keep them up. We've added to the university structure, that has to be maintained. So we've had this growth factor, and our budget has been doing this. So, you know, I'm saying to the point where we're to the point now that the only way we can cut is to take programs away. We've cut the staff down to the point they can't operate anyway. Let's just get rid of the program. That's what we need to do, pick out the programs that should be gone. This is serious business, and I'm a balanced person that I want to do what's right and what the public wants to do. And I'm interested to hear from everybody on those issues. But I'm just trying to give you a little reality check. So, anyone else? And Hollis, did you want? You gave me a really nice paper on just exactly what the status is of that issue. And before you get on there, I'm telling you, I went to the road commission meeting of the Isleson Farm Road people, and they gave me the statistics of what it has that they've been getting from road service money before and now, what it's down to. They're almost to the place they can't maintain the road anymore, and there's so few of them to tax themselves enough to fix the road, because it's a long distance between peoples and so forth. This is serious stuff. You know, roads need to be travelable. You want to say? Did you want to say something, or did?
Yes.
Okay, we'll let Jim Ellison then.
The president is about to instigate a Clean Air Act with the rest of the nations that may add another 50 cents to your gas dollar. And if you carry that burden, plus what we need to take care of our roads, we're going to get to the point where the working guy can't drive down the road. He doesn't have the money to buy the gas.
I understand that problem. And on that issue, this is appropriate that I might mention a long conversation I had with Dr. Middaugh, was his name, I think, with the Public Health Service. And I must have been on the phone about an hour with him, and I got him to agree with me that in our environmental zealousness that we have established our levels of acceptance way too low for anything that's achievable, number one, and number two, that because we've established it there, if it's above that, everybody gets fearful. And when they find something that causes cancer, it's a massive dose. And so what we, instead of going down to these low levels, and now we want to cringe them down a little bit more, we need to have a realistic level that is really dangerous to our health. And it's a long ways above what the current levels that they're giving on water and air and everything. I don't know how we can change it, because once government does some tightening, it never loosens up again. You know, it's pretty, but we can should be able to keep them from going any deeper. And I think we need to have a real all-out fight on that. But Bob, did you have a response on that?
One of the biggest things that we have to realize is that all of those standards were set on an unscientific basis.
That's correct.
And it was just like our air quality here in Fairbanks is based on a different air quality standard than Los Angeles, for an example. And what Carol Browner is now wanting to impose, Pittsburgh has never hit that level. I mean, they'll turn the lights out there if that goes through. So, I mean, but it's nothing based on, it's like the Global Climate Treaty. There's nothing in that treaty that is scientific based. It's all just safe.
Okay, well, I was happy to get someone in the who knows to agree with me on that. Go ahead, if you want to come up, Hollis, and tell us about the cooperative extension. I hope that the teleconference people can get this little interchange that we have here, but I think it's important, you know, that when we're doing this, that we have a, when we go away, we feel like we've had an opportunity to participate in this process. Go ahead, Hollis.
I'm Hollis Hall, Director of Alaska Cooperative Extension, and Representative James, Senator Ward, I'm pleased to be here today. Any action that we can take to articulate the needs of agriculture, to address the problems of agriculture, and to create a positive image, I think, is going to be good. We in Alaska need to develop a new philosophy of creating rather than buying all the things we need. And one of the places we do that is in agriculture. I grew up in a state where agriculture was the number one industry, so you can see that this attitude of lack of support for one of our basic industries was rather foreign to me when I came to this state. Since I've been here, I've seen a very deliberate procedure to even destroy that bit of support we have for agriculture in rural Alaska. And there is a way you can do that. You can make the agency so weak that they lose all the support that they had from the people that they serve. I know that people are not as pleased today with what the Cooperative Extension Service in this state does as they were a few years ago. I've heard people testify today that they're not pleased with the services they're getting from the Division of Agriculture as they were a number of years ago. I know that there are people in this state that don't believe that they're getting the services out of their experiment station that they used to get. And this is all because those agencies have all been placed under a great deal of fiscal constraint. Mr. Ward asked something about what has happened to public support within this state of the agencies that carry on agriculture research and those that carry on the extension service in the state. I know that our research arm, the experiment station, and I wish that Dr. Fred Husby were here in case I give the wrong figures, but I think have undergone something like a 27% reduction in the last 7 years. I know we in Extension have undergone a 26% reduction. You cannot carry on the types of services to the people of this state, particularly at a time when we're trying to make an industry grow when you're under those kind of constraints. But I'm sure that you don't want to hear about all of that. You probably want to hear what it is that we can do, what it is we intend to do. We currently are keeping the services to agriculture and the farmers in Delta and in Fairbanks and in the Kenai and in Palmer, trying to keep those in place. However, we're without currently an agriculture agent in Delta and also without one in Palmer. Those are going to be filled with, I must say it, less qualified individuals than what we would hope to have, but we're going to try to keep those programs together. In an effort to still maintain a commitment to agriculture, we saw that we needed to reduce and eliminate some of our programs in extension, and we did. We closed one of our district offices at McGrath. We closed out the community development program. Some of you might not know that, but in cooperative extension, we not only have a responsibility of programming for agriculture, education and agriculture, but also 4-H, home economics, and community development. But we actually eliminated our program in community development. At the same time that we were reducing our offices, reducing some of our programs, we said it was not right to do that without taking a look at the administration of extension, and so we went from 4 administrators to 2, which one is not filled right now, so I'm the one. And unfortunately, well, maybe fortunately for some, I have approximately 2 months and then I'm retiring and I'm going to be a full-time advocate for agriculture at that time, but so I hope that they will have someone to replace that one right now. But if there's any questions that you have, Madam Chairman, or I know that Mr. Ward mentioned some questions and concerns, and I guess if it's okay with you, yeah, take his question.
Bill, did you have any question for Hollis?
Yes, Hollis, appreciate it. Can you tell me if the agent in Delta and Palmer are going to be filled on a full-time basis, or is this on a temporary position at this point?
They're going to be filled on a temporary position. It'll be a one-year appointment, and it will more than likely be someone who does not hold an advanced degree in agriculture. We hope that it'll be someone who holds a bachelor's degree in agriculture. But no, it will not be a permanent position until I find out what's going to, or until my successor now finds out what's going to happen to the future funding. When you undergo reduce your state funding from about $3.4 million to $2.5 million, that means you have to be pretty cautious, and that's what we're doing. That's not the best. That
any
same
other
situation
questions?
That's, yeah. That's going on in Palmer, too.
Any other questions, Bill?
Okay. How long before that AP? What basis will it take to make a firm decision of a full-time position there? What will have to occur to be able to convert it from temporary to permanent?
Since we are looking at several positions in that are in that category, 4-H agent in Fairbanks, agriculture agent in Palmer, one in Delta, and an agent position in Bethel. If we look at all of those, also, I have a specialist position in livestock that is open right now. If we look at all those positions, we feel that if we could get the funding not back up to the $3.4 million, but up to about $3.1 million, that we'll be able to offer the services with the efficiencies that we brought about with reorganization, that we'll be able to offer the services that we were formerly 7 years ago.
One last question. With the downsizing you've taken, has your urban coverage been hit as hard as the rural farm-based coverage?
Probably not, just because of the retirements. But bear in mind that 10% of our total staff, our field staff, our district agents are located
in the town that has 50% of the population. So I would say that we're not overly serving the population of Anchorage, for instance. And then just recently we had a death on our staff, and we've gone from two to one person in the Juneau area. So if your question is whether they have undergone that kind of reduction recently, I'd have to say no. Whether they were underserved in the first place, I guess I would have to say yes, when 50% of the population is served by 10% of our field staff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to put on the record, too, that Representative Berkowitz is in Anchorage and has been for a while, so we have quite a few of our House State Affairs members here. Mr. Tritton said he wanted to speak again, so we'll let him talk next. Thanks, Hollis. Mr. Tritton and Matsu?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
I'd like to thank Hollis for his comments and say that was a real nice editorial at the Frontiersman a couple weeks ago. And we know about the downsizing in agriculture and in the state and federal budgets and everything, and I got a suggestion to come up with some money. Why don't we sell some of this land? State of Alaska, about 1% of it is owned by the public.
I am with you. I see a whole bunch of shaking heads.
We read the papers. They got to fund the schools and fund the roads and fund this. I've never lived anywhere in my whole life where I grow so much money and pay so much taxes. I cannot believe it. It's $3,000 for personal property tax, and I have the worst road. No mail, no fire department, no police service. Something's wrong with this picture. Thank you.
Okay, I also have the message that the legislators in Anchorage had to leave for other meetings, so we don't have anyone in Anchorage. And also, James Hayes from Senator Stevens' office is in the back of the room. Thank you very much for being here, sir.
You're invited.
Okay, Wendy, did you have any message of goodwill or whatever? We have Wendy Redmond from the university. She's coming forward now, so she's brave soul.
Just one. Fred Husby is supposed to be here, and I think he can address some of the issues if people are still interested relative to some of the priorities within the School of Ag. I think that Hollis clearly covered the reductions that have happened within the university. What I wanted to say, and I think it's important to say this, Bill Ward touched on this, and I want to reiterate what he said, because we're feeling it within the university, and I think we're going to feel it in every agency of the state, that the impact on rural Alaska of the reductions that we're going through right now and we're going to continue to go through are disproportionate. And because the population is so small and because the amount of monies that we're spending in rural Alaska are so minimal compared to what the needs are, even within the university, I'm extremely troubled by what is going to happen to our rural units and the lack of support that I think we see for some of those functions. And I just want to highlight, I think that Bill is correct. I'd like to say that we could see some turnaround in that within the university as well as within some other agencies of the state. I'm not altogether optimistic about that, Bill, but I really think what you said is important, and I'm going to be in touch with you as the Board of Regents continue to do their own strategic planning. They're going to have a meeting in Anchorage coming up in November, and I think some of your comments would be particularly appropriate as they begin their process, if you wouldn't mind doing that.
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for coming forward. Is there anyone else now that is here that have anything else that they would like to add? Did you know when Husby was going to be here?
I thought he would have been here by about 2:30.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to check.
Okay, would you do that? Because if he's going to come, I'd like to hear what he has to say. But in the meantime, is there anyone else that has any tidbits they'd like to offer? Okay, Jerry, let's Senator Ward. He's got, his mind's been working here.
The gentleman here that mentioned about the treaty that's going to cause a 56% increase, anybody that cares really should send a direct letter to Newt Gingrich and ask him to follow the proper course for treaty and ratifications of treaties instead of the fast tracking that we're on right now. It's already cost us almost 7,000 jobs, and it's going to cost a whole lot more. And very simply, if in fact our colleagues and our people in Congress and in the Senate would just do what they're supposed to do and perform the proper hearings on these treaties and not have such a thing as a fast track negotiated treaty between two nations, we in fact wouldn't have this problem. And it is a real problem, and it's with this particular administration, it's not going to get any better. It wasn't much better at the one before, and it's probably going to get worse until we have congressional legislators that actually stop this and say, quick, you know, this is a sovereign nation, and we as the elected people are the ones supposed to ratify these, and if they aren't negotiated properly, they don't ratify them. So that is the reality how it does. And the other gentleman is online. I'd just like to know that there's a tremendous support, the one that I mentioned about getting land in the hands of people. There are four separate bills that I know of that are being worked on right now in order to take Alaska lands, the state of Alaska lands, in exchange for not only large projects, but other forms and different ways of getting it out of public ownership and into private ownership. You're on the right track. That is exactly what we have to do. Either that or just put the fence around the whole thing. So anyway, that's only two comments that I had.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Bob Franklin, did you have another comment?
We can talk about it all day, but let me ask you a question, if I may. Where do we go from here? I understand we're going to have another hearing, but what happens next?
Next week we're having a meeting such as this in Matsu. And any of you are welcome to be involved in that conversation.
We'll be
online here if you want to come here and listen to the discussion. And we're hoping that we'll get more people to come forward and testify. That's all the meetings we have scheduled from between now and the time when we get back to Juneau in January. And then we'll take this up again as a state affairs bill in the House State Affairs. We'll see if the heads together can come to some way to refine this so that it is acceptable, and we'll do what it is we're hoping for it to do. If it doesn't do what we want it to do, which is help agriculture to survive, then there's no point in even trying to do it. But it has to work, because it's the last ditch effort, I think.
This went through legislative legal? Yeah.
It's been drafted by them. It's a beginning. We had to put some things in and take some things out and leave a lot of questions when we had it drafted. So we need some help. Wendy?
I know that Mr. Wells wasn't really able to give an opinion yet.
Can you stand up and talk so that it picks up? I think it'll pick up on here. So
Mr. Wells wasn't able to give an opinion yet. It was probably good since you're so new. But does the administration have a position on this legislation yet that you know of?
Well, let me just say to begin with that I've worked with Commissioner Shively on this issue.
Okay.
And he is not overtly supportive, but he will not oppose it, and he generally helped in some of the drafting,
okay,
too. So
that was just important to figure out.
To the point of getting part of that $11 million that Lou was talking about?
Well, that's a different issue.
That was Senator Ward for the records here. Yes, Robert. Would you like to come back up here and Mr. Wells, we're happy you're here today.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your characterization is exactly as I understand it. And in fact, Mr. Franklin and Mr. Warden, I sat with the commissioner earlier this week and had a similar type discussion. And I think to characterize the commissioner, he wants to hear from the Alaska farm community also before we begin to do additional work on this issue.
Well, and I think what we have to have is we have to have a plan. This is only an idea. This is not a plan yet. We have to have a plan, and we have to know where we're going to go, and we have to have some benchmarks, and we have to we have to get down to the specifics of what it is. I'm not going to write a simple little bill and then say the administration will write regulations to implement this chapter, because then we know we don't have a clue what's going to happen to it. We've got to set the parameters in the beginning as to how it will work and what will work, and have it be flexible enough that there is an opportunity to bend when needed to be bending. So I appreciate your being a farmer and having probably good insight into what farming needs. And land is the issue. If we had the land out there available, I'm sure we'd have more farmers coming up from just within our ranks, not even moving to the state, but within us. How many people I said, if I could have a piece of land, I'd be out there doing something with it. So I think that's the case.
And I would add, I expect, too, that we need a plan, and I'm listening very carefully to your comments and concerns, and Mr. Franklin's, Mr. Ward's, and Mr. Reese's, and others who's testified today, and I hope to work with all of the parties to help develop that plan, because clearly we do need a restatement of the mission, a restatement of the goals, and a clear plan to get there.
Thank you. Bob? Franklin?
One of the reasons that I set up a meeting with the commissioner, and I want everybody to know, which actually had nothing to do with 228 in as much as the bill itself. My feeling is, and I'm going to do some specific strategy planning with the Farm Bureau Board, to get general funding for our inspectors, because the inspectors do help the industry, there's no question about that, but it's also a consumer protection program, and the consumers demand inspection of vegetables and meat grading and what have you in order to be marketed. The taxpayers' money out of general fund should be paying for those 3.5 positions that we need for those inspectors.
Aren't there in some cases fees that are collected, some program
there is
fees?
There's $91,000 that is in a federal grant for the military purposes. We're going to be doing some checking into this inspection thing, some billing and where that money goes. When it comes back, if it goes into general fund, and it should be compensated back to a program type receipt situation. But the taxpayer should be willing to pay for those inspectors, and that should be a general fund expense, not an ARLF expense. So we're going to go real hard after those. All of the representatives and senators are on board here today. I want to know if we'll be down there beating on your door for those general funds. And particularly, I don't really particularly care where they come from, but the taxpayer should be willing and able to pay for those inspector positions.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead. And we've got a little note that you need to speak up, and I think it's because you're too far from here.
So okay, that, well, mine's just for information.
Bill Ward can't hear you, that's why.
Okay, since you had just mentioned about inspectors for the military, and I was going to ask later on, the Alaska Psychiatric Institute, Mount Edgecombe, the Department of Corrections, all the state institutions, they don't buy Alaska products 100% or 50% or 10% or no percent. Is it because we don't have inspectors? And does the military and the National Guard, do they buy them? They don't buy them. But
no.
Is it because we don't have inspectors?
No.
Let me get to the final thing. Has anybody ever made a total number of how much all those institutions buy in a year from outside farmers? Is it more than a dollar? No, I really don't
probably
know.
Probably 99% of those institutions buy outside product, even though there is a law on the books that they have to consider local product, and they have a 7% over. But it goes through their procurement process, and by the time that each individual farmer goes in there and does his thing with the military, they lose track of it. Actually, what they need to do is go to the wholesalers and the suppliers and say, you have to buy our product to give to the military. You know, I mean, El Damaso and some of these other big produce companies, They're not required to buy a lot of grown products, but they bid low enough on outside products to get the bid with the institutions, and so it leaves the Alaska farmer behind.
Okay, and Robio, yeah, you have something.
I'd like to make one little correction. Selling to the military actually has been a good market for our farmers, and they've been very receptive. Where the difficulty has come, surprisingly enough, is to state institutions. And we've worked for a couple of years on looking at procurement procedures and regulations, and it is very difficult to, the way the bidding is done, the way the system is set up, for a farmer to be able to, even though the preference is there, to get in that system. And part of it is, one of the problems is they tend to buy on a multi-item situation. So Mr. Reese here has carrots, but he can't provide carrots, cabbage, potatoes, on and on and on. So that's one of the ways the system has been circumvented somewhat. But it's relatively, I think we'll agree, it's relatively easy to sell with the military.
Right.
But state institutions, it's not.
Well, and on that point, in other states where they sell things, they have an association that they go through in many cases, so that it's funneled in to, each farmer doesn't sell their crop. They put their crop up and agree on a price, and the association does it. And one of the things I had looked at, you know, as the Board of Agriculture, to be able to maybe orchestrate that, or somewhere, somehow, some way, so that we could have that sort of a thing. You know, I don't know if that's what it takes, and we don't have the volume yet, really, to be there. We're still selling our product off the back porch. So I don't know when and if and when we get there. But focusing, yeah, you know.
It might be surprising, though, to a lot of people, is that Bud Warner, the inspector in Palmer, has inspected $20 million worth of logs going to Italy just recently. And the Division of Agriculture, he is the only one that's licensed to do that.
Dan is too.
And Dan is too, and Locks.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also spent a lot of time inspecting bananas that come to this town for color and quality. So the public and the merchants are the ones that are demanding this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a necessary evil that does need to come out of ARLF fund.
Yeah, I understand that message. I got that loud and clear. Also in Mat-Su, we have a Mr. Mitchell. Are you still there, Mr. Mitchell?
Yes, I am.
Well, we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah, this is Alan Mitchell. I'm acting director of Agriports Experiment Station, and Fred was supposed to be there today, and I'm not sure why he's not. But I wanted to respond to, two sets of comments. One's by Rob Wells earlier, and also a question by Bill Ward, related to the Ag and Forestry Experiment Station's plans for the future. Some of you may remember back in the earlier days of the Ag projects, the Division of Agriculture, and regardless of what you think about the old Ag projects, the Division of Agriculture at that time and Ag Action Council had annual Ag development plans, and the Experiment Station at that time responded. We designed a research around a response to those state development plans for agriculture. More recently, in recent years, we have not had that situation for a number of reasons. Perhaps some outcome from the 228 discussions, however they come out, will allow us to have a state plan each year for agriculture, or maybe not each year, at least maybe a five-year plan, whatever, something that the Experiment Station and Cooperative Extension can respond to. We have more limited resources than we had back in the old days, but we do still have some resources, and we would like to put those towards the development of agriculture in conjunction with the Division of Ag and the Cooperative Extension Service.
Well, that's encouraging. One thing I want to put on the record, too, that Sarah Fisher from Representative Gene Terrio's office is in the audience and has been here for quite a while, so have tapped into his office as well in this process.
Representative James?
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
This is Bill Ward. I'd like to make a couple other comments, if I may. The issue is if you have to sit around and brainstorm with ways to make something survive, I think you should at least get some of those things out on the table. One of the problems that we see as far as general funding is the misplaced assumption that agriculture doesn't pay for anything, and it's all perceived as everything coming out of the general funds is just a gift to the industry. Ironically, the fees that we do pay and are logged into the system aren't even recorded. We talked about the $91,000 worth of federal funds for inspection, but in discussion with the commissioner, there was a misunderstanding, or at least a lack of knowledge as to fees that the industry are already paying them for inspection services and the pay-as-you-go type attitude. And I don't know where we stand on that. The other thing, too, is the assumption that the Mount McKinley meets is nothing but a state gift to the industry, when in fact, that for every animal that we take in there and have processed, we pay a fee. And the plant keeps a portion of the carcass and makes money on that. So we are paying our way. There may be other ways that the industry is paying its way, but it certainly is not being recorded and recognized in the system. Bad communication again. As far as how to keep a division alive, maybe you should be a little more bold in thinking and not just try to figure out how to get enough money to keep the lights on in a building in Palmer and Fairbanks. Maybe you should look on expanding its duties and use efficiencies of expansion to actually, in fact, allow the land sales of state Title III lands be transferred over to the Division of Agriculture for administration. There was always talk of them doing that, and a lot of agreements made, but I don't think the official authority was ever transferred to the Division of Ag. There's the actions of it that were taken out of the division years back from the state vet and the food and inspection services are now over there at DEC. Those services were brought back with the general funds that are going into DEC, consolidated.